Has anybody been enjoying the super moon, the full moon? Yeah, hasn't it been gorgeous this weekend? So some Native Americans call that the beaver moon. And it's called the beaver moon because it's a time of year that busy beavers are finishing up storing, they're gathering their food and storing up their food so that they can retreat into their lodges. Sounds like a good signal for us, doesn't it? Nature's season and cycles are a good thing for us to follow and emulate, right? Time to burrow, a time to rest, a time to go within, make inner spiritual connection. Some people have been telling me lately that they have been doing that more. They've increased or deepened their spiritual practices as a result of everything that's going on in our country. And also, you know, syncing up with the season, I think we're sort of buoyed into more of that, a call within. Have you been feeling that? Maybe you've been called and you haven't quite answered yet. So we'll give you some encouragement to answer the call today. King Solomon was a wise king. Remember, he was the one who became king and said his prayer to God was, I want one thing, and you know, God's sitting there going, yeah, you know, the personified story of God, right? Saying, I know what he's going to want, you know, women, livestock, a big palace, nice clothes, plenty of food, you know, that's what they all want. And King Solomon just wanted wisdom because he wanted to serve his people with wisdom. And he was the one who said in his poem in Ecclesiastes, for everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. So there is sure to be a time for action. There is sure to be a time to rise up and do what is yours to do. And it does feel like there is also a collective time to be good to our hearts, to be good to ourselves, and to do our inner spiritual work. Which actually, speaking of timing, is quite nicely timed with our topic for today that goes with the Abundance Project Fall Study Series that we've been in. Today's topic is embracing our shadows, healing our shadows, and our values, abundance values conflicts. So shadows are revealing themselves, aren't they, collectively, it seems. We can see the shadows a little bit easier these days. We're really crystal clear. It's come into sharper view, the values conflicts that are going on, particularly in our country, but also to some degree around the world. And one very helpful thing that we can do right now, then, is this inner healing work that shadow work calls us to do. So you ready to go into our shadow? Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Look at those brave souls out there. I saw somebody saying, no, not ready. Not there. Anybody, anywhere but there. We'll go gently. Yeah. You might be wondering, what is a shadow? What in the world is she talking about? What is a shadow? Some people are more familiar with that language than others. It really comes out of Carl Jung's work in this depth psychology of the idea that there are disowned parts of ourselves, that some part of ourselves along the way we were told or shown wasn't okay, and so we cast it out. And the shadow work allows us to embrace it, to circle back in, to bring it home. So that's really what we're up to. A lot of times what happens when we have a shadow, a thing that we are pushing against or resisting, what we do then to fill in the gap, essentially, and deal with it, is some other opposing, it could be opposing or alternate trait, is developed in us. So that in response to, I can't be that thing, I'll be this thing, right? And so we become more developed in that particular area. But we know that, you know, by design, there's this resistance. And we also know this saying, what we resist does what? persists, yes. So by suppressing and trying to push away or cover up some part of ourselves, we miss out on the great gift that that thing can bring us, that very shadow can bring us. For example, let's take selfishness. That's a common one, right? Most of us don't want to be called selfish. We don't like that idea of thinking of ourselves as selfish or other people thinking of us as selfish. And so we might do everything we can do to not appear selfish. And it can kind of catch up with us, can't it? For example, my sister, who I call Saint Lisa. Saint Lisa will say about another family member, she's so selfish. And I've heard her say it a few times, and then I see who Lisa shows up as, which is the absolute opposite of that. She gives, she shares, she serves, she gives, she shares, she serves, she thinks about everybody else's needs, she meets everybody else's needs. Have you met this person? She pleases, she's, you know, and it's wonderful, and it's to her detriment. She hardly ever considers what's best for her own well-being, for her own health. Her children will go to the doctors immediately, but she'll wait until the pain is so excruciating that she's got to limp into the doctor's office, you know? She doesn't ever really stop to consider what brings her joy, or very rarely. So I wish my sister would integrate her selfish shadow so that she could take better care of herself. See, this is what happens, right? And you can feel that, like, coming home. Oh, yeah, that would be nice, right? Maybe you resonate with that particular one, or you know somebody who does, and how nice that would be. See, it's so easy for us to look at each other and say, yeah, I have a pretty good idea of what your shadows might be, right? But we don't really know what ours is, because that's the nature of shadow. There's a Zen proverb that says, people stand inside their shadow and wonder why it's dark. So identifying and embracing our shadows releases for us whatever imbalances there might be. Those places where we are draining energy stop, and we start to get our energy back when we embrace or welcome home a shadow. And it removes the blocks to our abundant good, which is to the point of this work this fall. A repressed shadow in us longs to come home, longs to be welcomed back like the prodigal child, right? Back into the arms of the one. And so it's this idea of identifying, of noticing, of shining a light upon it. First, we have to know what it is, right? Before we can even begin to do the work. And then recognizing, there might be a blessing here. There might be a gift here. Maybe we could befriend each other again now. If you judge or repress some part of yourself, like, for example, let's say a domineering or controlling aspect of yourself, then you are likely to develop something else, maybe even the very opposite of it, such as flexibility, or you become very flowy. You become somebody who's very diplomatic, because God forbid anyone would ever call you domineering or controlling, right? That's the last thing you'd ever want to be seen as. So what happens is then over time, you've developed these other characteristics that allow you to kind of hold space to bring back that other aspect of you. And so that when, as an adult, because usually these shadows appear in early stages of our lives, this is when we develop them. And so later in our lives now, when we do this work, we discover, there's a shadow around this idea. But I've been doing weight training. I've been resisting, pushing against that thing for so long that I've developed this other muscle that says, wow, I'm flexible now. I'm flowy now. I could take a look at that again. And as we look at it again, we realize it does have a blessing, in fact. That aspect of ourselves that we might have called domineering or controlling maybe won't show up quite that way now, because we have this other balancing aspect so developed. It might come in to provide more structure for us, something we need, perhaps. Empowerment for us, responsive action. And those kinds of things then can balance us out, make us whole again, and bring that disowned, that cast away part of us that we said no to, into the wholeness of who we are. So it's quite profound work when we begin to do shadow work. How about for you? What's the worst thing you could imagine somebody could possibly call you? You can say it out loud.
Racist.
Stupid, racist.
Mean.
Mean, uh-huh.
Predatory.
Say it again.
Predatory.
Predatory. Mm. Controlling, somebody said controlling.
Control.
Weak.
Lazy.
Lazy.
Uh-huh.
Insensitive, needy,
yeah.
Incompetent,
critical,
too sensitive.
What's that?
Too sensitive.
Another sensitive. Yeah, there's somebody else back there. Another stupid. Uh huh.
Self-centered.
Entitled.
Egotistical.
Lost and confused. What's that?
Loser.
Republican. Okay. The elephant in the room, huh? But see, you know, when we name them, it's like, you know, in this way, in this holding space, when we name these things, it's like we can make room for them. Do you feel that? It's like, all right, well, we're in this welcoming sanctuary. We say we're an inclusive community, right? We say it every week. We're a loving and inclusive community. That also comes to these traits that we have cast aside. And now we say, welcome. We're all welcome, Republicans and Democrats alike. And everything else, right? Every ideology. Welcome. Ooh, that's starting to get edgy, isn't it? Yeah, that's the edge. And that's what we want to do in this spiritual work is find our edges. Find those places where, okay, I can do this work, but that's a little too far out for me right now, right? And so we just keep working it, keep working it, keep working it. So I want to invite you, whatever you have named in your heart or out loud today, or maybe there's some other shadow you'd like to work with, something that really makes you cringe to think that you could be that, or something you'll defend yourself about, like, I'm not that. You know, take one of those, or perhaps you could take a core belief, a false core belief, like, I'm not safe, or I'm not good enough. Those are real common ones. So whatever it is, take it into meditation now. We're just going to do an exercise, if you'd like to participate in the meditation. And and with that identified shadow in mind that you have self-identified. And just invite you to breathe and to drop into your heart. And then in your mind's eye, see that there is an elevator available to you. And go ahead and get into that elevator and you begin to go down and down and down. Down further to the basement. But actually, surprisingly, when the doors open, what you find is a paradise of your own choosing, your favorite place. Maybe it's the beach or the forest or your own garden or a favorite room in your home. The wide expanse of this scene opens to you when you step into this very beautiful, familiar, nourishing place. I invite you to take a seat. It might be a rock or a tree that you're leaning up against, or it could be a bench or a favorite chair, whatever it may be, or sitting on the ground. And then let's invite that shadow to come forward and to sit before you and Just notice where it comes from and what form it takes. It comes and sits right in front of you. So we begin to have a conversation to ask the shadow question. Where do you come from? When did you first emerge? And just to be aware that it may bring you to a place of trauma, and you can just notice. You don't have to go deep back into that memory, but just noticing where it came from, when it started. When did the shadow come about? And now we know this shadow has come bearing a blessing, so let's ask it. What's the blessing that you're bringing me today? What's the blessing that you have for showing up right now in my life? And what do you need from me? Something you're needing from me. You might get something general and you can ask a little more specific. What do you specifically want me to do? What do you specifically need from me? And now that shadow comes especially close as you're in a bit of an embrace and the shadow whispers in your ear, one final thing it really needs from you. Let that form of the shadow now shrink down to palm size. And bring that palm to your heart, integrating that energy back into the field of love, the wholeness of who you are. And when you're ready, come back into this space. This individual work feeds into the collective healing. Not only do you experience healing and wholeness by doing shadow work, but you contribute to a healing and whole neighborhood, family, couple, country, and beyond. A lot of us are puzzling over how we could have two halves of America that seem like two very different sets of values right now. How could it be? But let's not miss this opportunity, because the opportunity is for rich inner inquiry at this time. America envisions life and liberty and justice and equality for all, right? Happiness for all. That's the ideal of America. It's the dream. That's the real dream of America. That's the truth of America. That's the experiment of America. That's the experiment of democracy. And at the same time, shadows are present of greed and superiority and self-centeredness and apathy and domination, and they keep rising up. In fact, so much so now that they're on full display. We have to illumine shadows in order to heal them. We don't have to look very far to wonder what our shadows are anymore, do we? Because there they are, right in front of us. In an exaggerated form, it seems to me. What's the silver lining then, that we can see them, that they're in the light of day now, and there's this dissonance that we're, I think many of us are feeling, this kind of push-pull of I'm holding this vision, there's a conflict inside, I'm holding this vision, this ideal, this knowing, this dream, this possibility of life and liberty and equality and justice and happiness and love for all people, peace amongst all people, and at the same time, this shadow has come up and arisen that seems so counter to all of that, and we are putting it into leadership. Wow! Could this spiritual evolution, this shadow work, be more evident? Could this values conflict be more clear? Let's not miss, as we used to say, the spiritual 2x4 that is available to us now, right? And to say, I will do my inner work. I will heal my shadows. I will bring them home, love them into the wholeness of my being, because every whole American contributes to the wholeness of it all. Right? So this spiritual work that we do is not just like an airy-fairy positive kind of, you know, sometimes I think it's seen that way, right? It's just platitudes. It's just, you know, and that's why shadow work is so important. I remember Marianne Williamson once said, new thought shadow is they don't think they have one. Right? There's some truth to that, isn't there? Because our teachings are so positive and we tend to focus so much on the positive that we forget there's other sides to the wholeness. There's other places within us that are calling out to be healed. And if we don't address them, real healing, true healing, authentic healing doesn't happen. But this is real, folks. This is true. This is authentic spiritual work that we are being called to. And let me remind you once again, we chose to be here now, right? You are here on divine assignment. At some point, somewhere in your history, you said, I'll be there in the times that are hard. I'll be there in the times I disagree with. I'll be there in the heartbreaking times, so that I can help in the healing, because I know how to do that. And even when I don't know how to do that, I have a spirit inside me that knows how to do that, and that spirit I will follow to the fullness and the wholeness and the healing, so that America can become that place of liberty and justice and equality and happiness and kindness and prosperity for all. It can happen. It's on our watch. This is on our watch. You know what they say for the seven generations out that Native Americans talk about? The grandchildren say, what did you do? What did you do? And you can say, honey, I did some deep inner spiritual work when the time was right to do that. For everything, there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. And when it was time for me to act, I acted. When it was time for me to speak truth, I spoke truth. And it was time for me to go back into prayer and meditate and increase my practices and walk my truth and become more and more of the truth of which I speak, to live into the affirmative truths, to live into the vision that I hold for my life, for my family, for my country, for my world. I was willing to do the work. You know what democracy means? Power of the people. Do you know what this shadow work is about? It's about bringing back your power. That's exactly what this is. The disempowered, disenchanted places in us that get to come home and empower us once again. And what is power? True power? It is that divine I am. It is that truth in which we stand. It is the best part of you. It is the truest self within you. And so let's not while away this opportunity for rich inquiry, rich shadow work that can bring into the wholeness and the fullness what we have come here to be and do as individuals, as spiritual beings, as human beings, as Americans. So what we have the power to do when we enter into this divine I am, to this very truth of our being, to this unshakable essence of who we are, is that we can transform things like greed into sustainable abundance. We can transform things like fear into love. We can transform cruelty into kindness. Whatever it is that you look about and you say, "Oh, I don't want that," get to work to transform it, because we can do this together. We need spiritual community now, and we need inward time. We need self-care, kindness to ourselves, right? Whatever it is that gives you a little more kindness, a little more presence, a little more love, give it to yourself, and then give it again. So where do we find that divine I am? You know where it is, right? Right here, right here. Wise King Solomon's poetry continues in Ecclesiastes. He wrote this 4,000 years ago, the king that asked for wisdom. "I have seen the burden laid on the human race. Everything is made beautiful in time. Everything is made beautiful in time. I know that there is nothing better than for people to be happy and to do good while they live. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before. And God will call the past into account." That's an important piece, because America also needs to atone. But that's a whole different talk for a different day. So it's time to get real, right? It's time to get real to what's holding us back from the abundant life that we came here to be, that came here to have, came here to express, to share with one another. Whatever's holding us back individually has an effect on everyone else. And when you heal it, when you bring it home, when you come into the wholeness of your being, when you step more into the divine I am, the truth of who you are, who you've come to be, then you bring that gift to everyone around you. And so it goes, healing one heart at a time. And when we are in spiritual community, what an extra gift that is, because we're doing the work together at the same time, both individually and as a whole when we come together. How powerful that is. How rich this opportunity for us to be together. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. It is a gift to the world, to the country, to each other that you show up, that you show up online, that you show up outside, that you come together in community to know that we can heal whatever needs to be healed and be made whole again together. So we turn, it's time now to go within, to confront the shadows, to redeem the castaway parts, and bring it back into the wholeness of who we are.
I am safe. Yes. I am good enough.
I am strong.
I am lovable.
I am healed.
I am whole.
I am powerful.
You have something you want to stand and speak? Feel free. Take a turn.
I am worthy.
Yes.
I am courageous.
Yes.
I am bliss.
I'm a channel of spirit.
There is a season, and for every purpose, a time for every purpose under heaven. And now that time to go within, to shore up our spiritual practice, to illuminate and integrate the shadow, and to heal all inner conflict. Time to be made whole and strong from within. and to be supported in spiritual community. Please say this affirmation with me. It's projected on the screen. As I incorporate my shadows back into my being, I am healed and made whole, and so too is my country.
One more time, hallelujah.